Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Micah, chapter 7. Micah, chapter 7. We'll read verses 16 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Micah, chapter 7. If you go to the book of Matthew and turn back about 25, 30 pages, you'll find it. Micah chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. Micah 7, verses 16 through 20. Again, we'll read these verses responsively. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And let's finish on verse number 20. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the living word of God. Thank you that it's real. Thank you that you're real. Lord, thank you that we don't pray to a shrine, to a tomb, to a statue, to something that's not there. We get to talk to a real and serve a real God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and change our lives so we could influence more people for you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
See, we have our very own Alvin Martinez right here. Thank God for it. Today, my sermon will be a little bit bragging on my God. I'm glad I get to serve the God I serve. I've looked at the others, have no interest in any others. I think sometimes that God's mercy does not get the credit that it deserves in our lives. God's goodness to man is very hard for us to comprehend, and we so often lose track of how good He really is to us. I was reading the other day and I found this. Someone said, when you go to God, ask for mercy, not for justice. A mother went to the Emperor Napoleon to ask for mercy for her son. He had committed some breach of the French law, and the Emperor replied, "Madam, this is the second time the boy has offended. Justice requires that he should die." She answered, "I did not come to ask for justice. I came to beg for mercy." He answered, "He does not deserve mercy." "Sire," she said, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. I beg for mercy." When she put it that way, the emperor replied, "Well then, I will have mercy because of me, not because of him." And that is our God. Mercy is not something that you and I earn. Mercy is not something that you and I deserve. And I think if you and I could see the bigness and the pureness of our God, if we would compare ourselves to Him, we would realize that our God is a merciful God. I call the sermon this morning, "The God Who Sails Past Us in Mercy." The God Who Sails Past Us in Mercy. I read to you again one verse from the text. Micah 7:18, it says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy." Let me tell you a little bit about this passage in Micah chapter 7. This chapter actually begins with Micah the prophet lamenting the ungodliness of the people of his day. He then reproves them because of their ungodliness, and he tells them there will be a time of loss because of their sin. He says, now, you've done wrong, and there's going to be some discipline that'll come your way, and you'll lose a little. But then he says, there will be prosperity to follow. If you went to Micah chapter 7, verses 18, 19, and 20, it is actually a song that is being sung. And that song speaks of God's mercy. He ends verse number 18 with the words, "He delighteth in mercy," meaning God delights in being merciful to mankind. Now, the definition of mercy may be found earlier in that same verse, because in Micah 7:18 it says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression?" Passeth by the transgression. The word mercy in the Bible, if you were to study it and look at it very, very carefully, you would find it translated as one who passes by our deserved punishment. I want you to picture yourself in a ship. You all by yourself in a ship. You're sailing along, but you have done wrong. And you know you have done wrong. Now, God has full right to sink your ship. God has the power to sink your ship. God, He also, and virtually the word mercy in the Old Testament, it virtually talks about our small, frail life is floating along, and God comes by in His big cruiser. We've done wrong. God has the right to sink our ship, but God said, "I'll show mercy, and I'll let you continue on." In His kindness, in His love, in His compassion, He sails right past our ship and does not sink it. That's what mercy is. Our boat is a tiny little canoe. God is the great battleship of history. And we, you and I, both as those of you that are unsaved and those of us that are saved, we have all been guilty of sinning against our God. And as we pass by God on the ocean of life, if God wanted to, He could point the cannons of judgment and the cannons of chastisement toward our little canoe, and He could sink us on the spot. And just so you know, we would deserve to be sunk. We would deserve that water would be taken into our vessel and we drowned in life. But God said, "I'll pass by." What is that? That's mercy. That's mercy. Nehemiah 9:17 says, "And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." Hey, folks, you and I better be glad that our God is slow to anger. Because our God, hey, as we're passing by on the sea of life, and we're in that little canoe, and God's in that great destroyer of a ship that He deserves to be in, and you and I cross our God, and we do wrong, and we sin, and we do that which we should not do, if God was a God of quick anger, He would sink our ship on the spot.
Yes, sir.
But He passes by, because our God is a God of mercy. We've all fallen short of that which God commands us. You say, how so? Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." You say, Brother Owens, what does God require of me? That you're holy.
Yes.
You say, Brother Owens, what does God want of me? He wants you to be holy.
Yes.
You say, Brother Owens, what kind of music does God want me to be involved in? Holy music. Brother Owens, what kind of entertainment? Holy entertainment. What kind of thoughts am I to have? Holy thoughts. That's what God requires. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Folks, we fall terribly short. You say, well, I think I'm one of the best Christians in this church. That doesn't mean anything. You don't have to compare yourselves to other people. You're to compare yourself to the standard. You say, who's the standard? Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, is the standard. And folks, I wish I could just wake us all up to the truth today. God is a merciful God. God could have sunk your ship a long time ago. And we would have deserved it. Our ship deserves to be sank. He has full right to sink our ship. He has the power to sink our ship. And He could do it justifiably. But thank God. Thank God. He didn't sink my ship. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 22, it says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. If I may testify for just a moment, but shortly, I want to thank God today that He's allowed me to stay in the ministry. He could have sunk my ship a long time ago. I'm just a nasty old sinner saved by grace. All the times that God had to look at me and say, Jeff Owens, I could take you out right now. And the mercy of God came.
Yes, sir.
My sinful vessel. My pride-filled life and bad decisions and arrogant way. I passed by that great destroyer God. My little canoe could have been sank on the spot. And I would have deserved it. But thank God, His compassions fail not. Thank God, God said, I'll show mercy on that little canoe of Jeff Owens's right now. Let me tell you something, folks. If you made it through another week, it's because His mercies fail not. We sometimes get pretty arrogant. We sometimes get to thinking we're really hot stuff. Folks, none of us are hot stuff. All of us are living on borrowed time. I wish God would get the credit that God deserves for His kindness toward mankind. I want Him to get credit in my life. I know it's a miracle that God uses me. I know it's a miracle that I get to stand behind this sacred desk. I know it's a miracle that God didn't take me out a long time ago. God could have killed me. God could have destroyed me. And justifiably He could have. But today I want to thank God for His mercy in my life. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for letting me have a chance to serve You. Let me say, first of all, how does our God in His mercy sail past us? The Bible tells us that He sails past us with a tender mercy. It says in Psalm chapter 40, verse number 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Folks, thank God. God is a God of mercy. What kind of mercy? It's tender mercy. His mercy is not a mercy of spite. You ever seen somebody that tends to be merciful towards you, but they're spiteful while they do it? God's not that way. His mercy is tender. You ever seen someone that's mean in their mercy? I'll be merciful, but they let you know, I don't have to, and I don't like you, and I'm going to be merciful. And wait a minute, that's not God. God is a God of tender mercy. His mercy is not hateful. His mercy is not spiteful. His mercy is not mean. Hey, when that big old destroyer ship of God passes by your little canoe, he says, I want the wake of my ship to be tender on that little boat right there. Could He destroy us? Yes, He could. The mighty hand of God could destroy you. It could destroy me. And He would have justifiable cause today. But He says, I have tender mercies. But not only is His mercy tender, His mercy is great. He sails past us with a great mercy. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." Hey, this mercy is not only a tender mercy, it is a great mercy. It's not a common mercy. You and I, we might experience a little mercy between human beings. Like, God's mercy is far beyond that. It's not a common mercy. Hey, God's mercy is not an average mercy. It's a great mercy. It's not a common mercy. It's a great mercy. It's not a little mercy. It's a great mercy. He sails past my deserving punishment in a magnificent way. God, that big battleship that runs the universe, that has all power and all dignity. He knows everything. He's everywhere. The big old battleship, it plows through the sea and sees my little canoe, and he says, "I'm going to be tender with that little canoe." And when he comes through, I look up at the greatness and I think, that is great mercy. That's power under control. Not only is it tender mercy, not only is it great mercy, it is plenteous. God has a plenteous mercy. He sails past with plenteous mercy. The Bible says in Psalm 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." It says there, full of compassion, and it says it is to all in Psalm 86, 15. God says there's plenty of mercy for all. Did you know that His mercy is not all used up on one person? If God pours out a bunch of mercy on your little ship, hey, don't you worry. Those of you that are coming through later on, God's got plenty for you too. Thank God, God had mercy for Noah. Thank God, God had mercy for Abraham. Thank God, God had mercy for David. And thank God, God had mercy for Elijah. And thank God, God had mercy for Ezekiel. But wait a minute. He didn't only have mercy for the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. He's got enough mercy for me and you today. It's plenteous. There's plenty of this thing called mercy. You see, His mercy is a tender mercy. His mercy is a great mercy. It is plenteous. But wait, it's abundant. Abundant? Uh-huh. He sails past with an abundance of mercy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope." Hey, you hear that? There's an abundant mercy. Did you know there's enough for all of us? But wait, there is enough for you. It is abundant. Matter of fact, if you have something in abundance, He can meet every need that you have with His mercy, and then He's got a little bit more. There's no expiration date on God's mercy. And may I say this also? Hey, once God has filled your frail little vessel with His mercy, you look back at the battleship and you'll see He has plenty in case you spill a little bit out. It is abundant. It's overflowing. There's ample amount. There's enough for everybody, and there's totally enough for you. That's the kind of mercy that it is. It's tender mercy. It's great mercy. It's plenteous in mercy. It's abundant mercy. Did you know that His mercies are multiple?
Right.
He sails past with this kind of mercy. Psalm 106, verse number 45, it says, "And He remembered for them His covenant, and repented according to the multitude of His mercies." His mercy is seen in a multitude of ways. We get to see, you know, so every once in a while, you have a close call in life that you noticed. And you say, "Wow, God was merciful." My friend, God was merciful 30 minutes earlier when you didn't even notice it. There have been times when God has salvaged your sin-sick soul and pulled you out of a mess you didn't even have the good common sense to realize you were in. God's bailed you out time and time again. Every once in a while, you glance and you come out of your carnal eyesight long enough to see, "Wow, God just spared me." My friend, He's sparing all day long. Every day, there's a devil that's out to destroy you and me. Thank God for God's mercy. It's multiple. His mercy is seen in a multitude of ways. You don't figure up God's mercy by way of addition. You have to figure up God's mercy by way of multiplication. His mercies are multiple. There's a multitude of ways that God is merciful to you and I. It's a tender mercy. It's a great mercy. It is mercy that is plenty in its quantity and abundant. There's more than enough. And He multiplies that mercy to you and I. And it's in a multiple of ways. It's not just in that one occurrence that you happen to be smart enough to recognize at the moment. Then the Bible tells us that He sails past us with an everlasting mercy. Psalm 100, verse number 5, it says this, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." He has enough mercy that will last. Listen, hey, somebody wake him up. Wake him up so he's not snoring during the service. Get your sleep at home, bud. Now look back this way. I wouldn't have done that if he wasn't snoring so loud. If I can hear it, believe me, it can be heard. His mercy is everlasting. Well, what kind of mercy is this? Psalm 100, verse number 5 says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting." You know what? That means He has enough to last the duration of your need. Look this way. He has enough to last the duration of your need. You say, "Brother Owens, it seems like God's really going to have to be merciful. God's really, hey, I've got something on my plate and it's going to take a big old dose of mercy that lasts a long time." Don't you worry. He's not going to come up short in regard to that need. He has enough to last the duration of your burden and last the duration of your need. Hey, His mercy is like Him. You say, "What's He like?" He's the forever one. He's the one that lasts forever. He's everlasting. And so, this mercy, it's tender mercy. This mercy, it's great mercy. This mercy, it's plenteous. This mercy, it's abundant. This mercy, it is in a multiple of ways. This mercy is everlasting mercy. And then you can thank God for this. It's a loving mercy. He sails past you and I in a loving way. Psalm 51:1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Hey, His mercy is because He loves us. Let me tell you, I believe that we ought to do what we do, what we ought to do because it's right. We ought to do it out of duty. You and I ought to do what's right because it's right to do. But let me tell you something. God does not have to do everything He does out of duty. God loves to do what He does. You and I may struggle with that a little bit, but God does not. God's love is so pure and so rich. God's love is so thorough. God comes to you and He says, "I will be merciful to you." And you say, "God, I guess you have to because your word says so." God comes back and He says, "I would do it because my word said so." But let me tell you something. This is more than a duty, that I have a commitment of duty to you. I'm going to be merciful because I love you. You and I, in our feeble way of living our Christian life, I challenge you to be merciful, and I challenge me to be merciful, and you and I ought to be merciful to each other. But let me tell you something. We may have to reach down deep and say, "I'll be merciful because God makes me. I don't want to be." You don't have to make God be merciful. He loves you. He loves you. He sails past us because He loves us. He could have turned His great ship and all the power and all the righteousness and all the holiness. He could have turned on us and sank our ship. But God passes by our frail vessel in mercy. Why? Because He loves us. I've got some more good news for you. This mercy is not only tender, it's not only great, it's not only plenteous and abundant, it's not only multiplied in our lives and everlasting, it's not only applied and made available to us in great love, it's fresh. Fresh mercy. Fresh mercy. Mrs. Owens and I stopped to get gas this morning, and she said, "I'll go in and get you a cup of coffee." She went in and I waited. And I waited. And I waited. You say, "That bother you?" Oh no, we do this. We wait. She came back out and she was all excited. She said, "I got your cup of coffee." I said, "Did it make you grind it yourself?" She said, no, honey. She said, I looked at all the coffee that they had there. We were at the Sheets gas station. She said, I looked at all the coffee pots there, and all of them were about a third full. She said, I didn't want you to have that coffee this morning. She said, I noticed they just put a fresh pot on, and I wanted to wait. I wanted you to have the first cup out of the freshest pot. She did that because she loves me. But let me tell you something. When you glance up at the mercy of God, you're not going to find a half baked pot of mercy. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:22, it says it is of the Lord's mercies. In verse 3:23, they are new every morning. You know what that means? They're fresh. They're fresh. God's mercy is fresh every morning. You say, yeah, Saturday was a rough day. Thank God you came to church on Sunday. God's mercy is fresh and new and available to you today. His mercies are fresh. His mercy is loving and everlasting. And it's multiplied and it's abundant and it's plenteous and it's great and it's tender. Hey, how does this ship pass by you and I? This ship that could sink us. That's what mercy is. Is God and His greatness and His holiness passing by our frail vessel on the sea of life? God could destroy us. And God says, I love you. I want you to sail on and do something good with your life. What is it that God might pass by in His mercy? I think there are times when God passes by our rebellion. The Bible says in Daniel 9:9, to the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. You know, let's face it, folks. We have all rebelled against God. He could have put me down hard. He could have put me down fast. And He could have put me down permanently. You say, well, Brother Owens, you must be a different level sinner than I. I might be a little more observant than what you are. But the truth of the matter is, God is so holy, we don't even qualify to be in His presence, and we would never make it if it were not somebody else paying for our ticket. And let me tell you this, if you get too arrogant, you think, well, I'm a pretty good kid. I grew up all my life in a Christian school and in a Christian home, and I'm not a sinner like everybody else. You are so full of pride, you don't even realize how bad you are. And I'm going to tell you, God could put you down hard. God could put you down now. God could put you down permanently and be justified in every move. Hey, we better thank God that He passes by our rebellion. He passes by our captivity. The Bible says in Exodus 15:13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. That scripture comes right out of the story when the children of Israel were in captivity, and part of their captivity was their choosing. This verse says God was merciful of people that walked into captivity, walked into a mess. And God said, you put yourself in that mess. And God said, I want to help get you out. God could have sunk your ship. God could have sunk your ship. God could have retracted His mercy because of our rebellion. God could have retracted His mercy because of our captivity. What self-inflicted mess do you have yourself in right now? You better thank God that God is a God of mercy. I think He sails past in His mercy our rebellion. I think there are times when He sails past in His mercy our own self-inflicted captivity. I think there are times when He sails past our weaknesses. Listen to this verse. Psalm 6, verse number 2, it says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. Here's somebody that's weak. Do you have weaknesses? Welcome to the club. So do I. What sinful weakness do you constantly struggle with? And what sinful weakness has God shown mercy? It's something that I've learned about the human race. Most people in this room, you struggle today with the same thing you struggled with a year ago. You know the one you deal with, or the many that you deal with? You know those issues that you can't seem to get under control? You know, the ones where you've walked the aisle and given it to God, and you came down here, but somehow didn't take long until that which you left with the Lord, you picked back up and you started practicing those same things and hurting your God, hurting your testimony again. I'll tell you what, this one ought to scare us a little bit, because God, you ought to thank God that God looks down and says, I see your weakness, and I've been patient with you and compassionate on you and long-suffering. God could have sank your ship for your repetitive misbehavior a long time ago, and nobody in here would dare have the arrogance to say anything different. Because that is the truth. Huh? But he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Not only that, God, in his mercy, sails past us because in our rebellion and in our own choice of captivity and our own weaknesses, but in our backslidings. In Psalm 94:18, it says, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Are you backsliding right now? Some of you are. Do you know something? You're backslidden, but you're in church. That's God's mercy.
Yes, sir.
There's some of you, you are so backslidden, it is embarrassing to the church. But you're in church. That's mercy. That's mercy. You could be in jail. So, well, I'm not going to go that far. Do you think you're the one that determines how far you'll go when you're judged? If you're so much in control, why aren't you right with God in the first place? Our backsliding? My foot slippeth. Hey, if you're backsliding right now, you better thank God for His mercy, because He could take you out now. He could take you out hard. He could take you out permanently. We wouldn't see you anymore. You'd be history. But He's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. Some of you need to remember back when you were backsliding. Some of you Pharisees, that when you see backslidden people, you almost have a personal hatred for them. Maybe you need to remember back to when you were backslidden. Might calm you down a little bit. Doesn't mean you have to agree with sin, but you ought to understand mercy. Our God is a great God. He's a great God of mercy. He is merciful in our rebellion and merciful in our own self-inflicted captivity and merciful in our weaknesses and merciful in our backslidings. Hey, He's merciful when we're unfaithful. He's merciful when we're unfaithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:25, I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Listen, folks, faithfulness is doing what you're to do, when you're to do it, how you're to do it, every time. That's what faithfulness is. Everybody here ought to be shooting for 100% attendance to your duties, whatever they are. 100%. We can be glad that God is merciful in regard to our faithfulness. Folks, we ought to be glad we don't have to work our way to heaven, because everybody here go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Wow. God is merciful in regard to when we're unfaithful. Hey, God is merciful in regard to our past lives. Listen to this verse. Psalm 79, verse 8, it says, O remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us. Get it? You hear that? Psalmist cried out and said, God, I want you to forget about my iniquities of the past. I need your mercy. Oh, former iniquities. Okay. Some people in here, you need to glance back where you came from. Just look back. Look back at the times that God has salvaged you. Look back at the times that God in His mercy has dealt kindly and compassionate to you. Oh, where we would be if it were not for the mercy of God. in His mercy. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the sins of your past. I'm going to put them as far as the east is from the west. He said, I'll take your sins of the past. I'll put them behind my back. God said, I'll take your sins of the past. I'll put them beneath the deepest sea. God said, I'll take your sins of the past and I'll get amnesia. God said, I'll give you a clean slate. Now get out there and go do something for me. We all better thank God that our God is a merciful God, and our God in His great ship of holiness lets us sail right past, and He doesn't look back at our past sins and hold them against us. He says, I'll be merciful. He's merciful in our rebellion. He's merciful in our self-inflicted captivity. He's merciful in our weaknesses and merciful in our backslidings and merciful with our unfaithfulness and merciful in regard to our bad past. He's merciful when we're in need of revival. Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. What's he talking about, revival? How dead is your service to God? Think about it. You went to your Sunday school class today as lame as you could be. There were students sitting under you more spiritual than you. You're in need of revival, and you can thank God that He's merciful, leader. How's your attitude toward church? How's your attitude toward soul winning? How's your attitude toward the things of God? Revival. Hey, listen. Revival is God's mercy at work.
Yes, sir.
You see, our God is a God who sails past us in mercy. He does it tenderly and greatly and plenteously and abundantly, and He multiplies it. It's everlasting, it's loving, and it's fresh. What is it our God will express His mercy toward us in regard to? And that is our rebellion and our own self-inflicted captivity and our weaknesses and our backsliding and our unfaithfulness and our past and our lack of revival. May I recommend something to you this morning? Don't force Him to magnify that mercy. Don't force God to magnify it. Let me read a couple of verses to you. It is from the story of Lot in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 19, verse 16, it says, And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Here is Lot, a Christian man. He and his family are living in a wicked city. He allows himself and his family to get involved in the worldly living, and God is about to destroy that city. And God said, I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to come and I'm going to lead you and your family out of the city before I destroy it. And it says, the Lord being merciful unto him in verse number 16. And God led him out of that city, and fire and brimstone came and destroyed that city. And listen to what it says in verse 19. Three verses later. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. This is Lot talking. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Lot knew he deserved to die. He knew his family deserved to die. And Lot looked at it and he said, you know something? God magnified His mercy to pull me out of this mess. God, in His mercy, allowed Lot and his family to escape destruction in spite of their wicked attachment to the world. Lot sees that God magnified that mercy. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I happen to believe in this story that Lot and his family had pushed God to the limit. Now, let me warn you. Our God's a merciful God. And our God's a tender God, and our God's a loving God. But you can push God too far.
Yes,
and I think God glanced at me and he said, boy, oh boy, I had pushed God to the limit. God had magnified His mercy. Me and my wife and my two daughters were the only ones that got out of the whole mess alive. And Lot said, by the skin of my teeth, I barely made it. How about you? Did you know His mercy can come to an end? You said, I thought you said it's everlasting. It is at His will. Sure, it's everlasting. But God is also a God of justice.
Yes, sir.
God may choose to say, mercy done. Justice, wrath, it can step in. We've seen it time and time again in the Scripture. Thank God, God is a God of mercy. But God, hey, you better not push God to the limit. You say, He's been merciful. I'm backslidden. He's merciful. I'm doing wrong. He's merciful. I'm still in church. He's merciful. And you push Him. And you push Him. And you push Him. And you push Him. And you take in the mercy. And take in the mercy. And you bask in the mercy. And you bask in the forgiveness. And you bask in the kindness. And you take it in. And you take it in. And you take it in. Don't you be shocked when God sees you're abusing His mercy that God doesn't come along and say, I'm going to have to get your attention. I'm not giving you mercy so you can take advantage of me. God's giving you mercy to bring you back to Him. He's giving you another chance to fix what's broken. He's not approving of the way you're living. You say, Brother Owens, what should we do in regard to this mercy? Well, I think this. I think all of us ought to learn how to thank Him. You better thank Him for sailing past your ship. The Bible says in Psalm 118, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Some here need to fall on your face and thank God for His mercy. Somebody here, you owe Him. You ought to fall on your face and thank Him again for His mercy. Do you remember the times? Can you think back and find some times when all hope was gone and you were a mess and you wondered what would happen and somehow God brought you through it all and the mercy of God, that great battleship of God's holiness passed by you. He could have sank your ship. You knew you were going down. Your vessel was taking on water. And God gently passed by and you said, I can't believe it. I made it. I'm alive. I can go on for God. Somebody better visit the altar and thank God for His mercy. The Bible says we ought to sing about His mercy. It says in Psalm 59:16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. You might find this hard to believe. Before I go to bed at night, about the last thought on my mind is, I made it through another one. And I mean, it's often a sigh of exasperation. Because the spiritual battle from the time I get up till the time I go to bed is heavy. And I say, God, thank you. One more day. I've made it. You say, what do you do the next morning? Well, I get up and His mercies are new every morning. Fresh. Give me a fresh cup of freshly brewed mercy. And I go through another day. We should respond to Him. He sailed past our iniquity. How are we going to do it? Thank Him for His mercy. Sing about His mercy. And I wish I could get this across to you. You ought to be satisfied with the mercy that has been bestowed upon you. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 14 says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Folks, how could we ask for more? How could you feel cheated by God? He bailed your sin sick soul out time and time again.
Yes, sir.
We're fortunate to be alive.
Right.
How could we be covetous?
Well, that's good.
How could we be unsatisfied with our house?
Right.
How could we be unsatisfied with our job and unsatisfied with what we have? God said, you ought to be satisfied with my mercy. I could have put you down and put you down hard. I let you get back up and the first thing you do is let me know you don't like your food, you don't like your clothes, you don't like your air, you don't like your house, you don't like your church, you don't like your job, you don't like your family. What right do we have to be unsatisfied with anything? Anything is better than hell. Anything is better than death that would keep us from serving our God. He said, you ought to wake up and be satisfied in my mercy. Some of you that are hard to please, you might want to glance at His mercy in your life. Folks, He's already given us more than we deserve. How should we respond to this great battleship of God on the sea of life passing by our frail little sin-cursed ship, and He in mercy passes by and does not sink us? Well, we should thank Him. We should sing about it. We should be satisfied with what He's done for us. We should see the real blessing that mercy is. Psalm 66:20 said, "Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." There it is. It's a blessing we are still alive. It's a blessing we're still in church. Hey, it's a blessing that we still get to lead. It's a blessing that, hey, it's a blessing that you're still married. It's a blessing that you're not pregnant out of wedlock. It's a blessing that you're not in jail. You better stop and look at the blessings of His mercy. But not only that. That's our God and His mercy. He's our great example. Let me tell you what He asks. He says this. Listen to Colossians 3:12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy." What God tells you and me? We are to learn mercy between each other. We, you and I, as our ship is on the ocean of life, and your ship passes my ship, and my ship passes your ship. You say, "I have some artillery. I could destroy you. I could shoot at you. I could take your ship out." God said, "You need to learn to be merciful with sinful man like I'm merciful with sinful man." If anybody has a right to sink a ship, it's God. Who do you think you are trying to sink somebody else's ship, you hypocrite? If a holy God of the universe can look at your little frail boat and say, "I'll be merciful," don't you think two people that are guilty of sin, that are only saved by grace, don't you think we ought to be merciful when we're floating in the same water with a bunch of other sinners? We're to do the same. You say, why? He says in Colossians 3:13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." If the perfect one can have mercy on you, I guess you ought to have mercy on somebody that's just like you. You say, "Well, I'm offended. They're not just like me." You might have it together in one area, but I'll guarantee you they have it together in some area you don't. And you're just a sinner. Folks, we're all in the same mess here. We're all in little ships. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's only one in the great battleship that has the power and the justice and the insight to know everything that ought to be done to everybody. You better leave God be God. Those who have received mercy should be giving it. We forget so quickly how God has been merciful to us. We forget. Let me say in closing, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a great battleship. It's called the old ship of Zion. Jesus Christ, He's the vessel that will save your sin cursed soul. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." God can save you from going to hell. Not because you're good, but because He is. Every human being deserves to die and go to hell because every human being is a sinner. Jesus Christ is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God which came to take away the sin of the world. When Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, He made it so that you could go to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. It is by His mercy He saves us. Now, I've got better news for you on that one. It's a forever salvation. It says in Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, O good thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, he will save you forever.
Amen.
You won't lose it. It's yours. You come to him and let him do all the saving. He is the ship's captain. He does the saving. You just let him save. And from this day on, you'll be saved and on your way to heaven. Mercy. The great and powerful ship of God on the sea of life passes by you and I. He looks down and he sees our sin. He looks down and sees that we do not stack up based on his holiness. He has the power. He has the justice. He has the wherewithal to destroy us. And God says, I will show mercy. And he shows mercy so you and I, first of all, we'll thank him for it. Gives us a chance to straighten out our lives so we can help others. If you're not saved today, you ought to accept the mercy of God. You say, how is there mercy, Brother Owens? I'm here today and I'm not saved. How's mercy shown there? Do you realize you could have died unsaved and you could be in hell right now? There are people in hell right now. Why? They didn't receive Christ as Savior, and the mercy, it came to an end. If you're here today, God's been merciful. I think he spared you so you would get saved today. You say, what about tomorrow? Take your chances. Can't promise you anything about that. I just know today. Mercy. Listen again. When you go to God, ask for mercy, not for justice. A mother went to the Emperor Napoleon to ask for mercy for her son. He had committed some breach of French law, and the emperor replied, Madam, this is the second time the boy has offended. Justice requires that he should die. She answered, I did not come to ask for justice. I beg for mercy. He answered, he does not deserve mercy. Sire, she said, it would not be mercy if I deserved it. I beg for mercy. When she put it that way, the emperor replied, well, then I will have mercy because I will have mercy on him because of me, not because of him. And folks, mercy is because of him.
Yes,
let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are people under the sound of my voice. You're not saved. We're not playing religion around here. We're not playing church. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, you ought to get saved today. You come and accept the salvation that's made available through the mercy of God. Let me ask that question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Don't lie to me. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie in church. Do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Who here would say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to take care of it. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, that's me. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not sure. How about another hand? You say, I'm not sure. God bless you, sir. Who else? Many hands being raised. You say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I need to get this taken care of. I see God has been merciful and he's brought me to this day and this moment. I need to be born again. Who else? You'll say, that's me. I need to be saved. Those of you that just raised your hands, and some that probably should have that didn't. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, we're all going to stand. In a moment, the choir will sing. As they begin to sing, as we stand, the men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform. They'll post themselves down front on the lower floor at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, you merely leave your seat. You walk toward the front. Others will be coming. They'll be coming forward at that time. You just come and walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be born again. I want to be saved. And we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I believe there's somebody here today. You've the mercy of God. You see it. Maybe you see it better right now than normal. And you say, God has been merciful in my life. And it's been brought to my attention. The Holy Spirit of God has just brought it up in my heart. Brother Owens, and God speaking to my heart about this thing of the mercy of God. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I see how God has salvaged and what God has done. Maybe you need the altar today. Maybe there's somebody in here. You say, Brother Owens, oh, what God saved me from. Oh, what's in my past? Thank God he is merciful and remembers the iniquities of my past no more. I probably need to hit the altar and just thank him again for his mercy in my life. Hey, there might be somebody here right now. You're pushing God's mercy. Is it like Lot? And are you thinking, well, I'm going to push God to the limit on His mercy. I think God's going to put up with it. I can push Him another day. I can push Him another week. I can push Him through another six pack. I can push Him through another sinful night of immorality. My friend, don't you think you can require God to magnify His mercy? That's up to God. Somebody might need to come and rededicate your life. Somebody might need to come here and get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. I've pushed you far enough. You know what you need to do. Mercy. Mercy. I don't cry for justice. I beg for mercy. I ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. Whether you're in the balcony or on the lower floor, if you need this altar, you come. If you're not saved, you come. If you raised your hand and said, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, you come. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. You come. You come. Maybe you've forgotten of all the mercy of God in your life, and you need to come and say, thank you, God, for the mercy. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. It may be you've sinned against your God, and you're scared to death that justice is on the horizon. And if we get justice, we deserve justice. Maybe you need to come down here and say, oh, God, I'm not asking for justice. I'm begging for mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy on my soul. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. Let the mercy of God become active in the salvation of your soul. You need to thank Him. Not only do you need to thank Him, you need to sing about it. Not only do you need to sing about it, you need to make sure that you remember it. You need to see it as the blessing that it is. Be satisfied. He said, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Folks, if you and I would look back at how powerful the mercy of God has been in our life, we would not find ourselves so unsatisfied in life. We wouldn't feel cheated. We wouldn't feel like we're getting shortchanged. Hey, look what God's already done. He's done enough. To show dissatisfaction is a slap in the face to the goodness and the kindness of our God to this date in our lives. If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come? Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. I don't know. Thank God He's tender. Thank God that mercy's great. Thank God there's plenty of it. It's abundant. It can be multiplied. It's everlasting. It's loving. It's fresh. And I wish I would have taken the time. I see there in the Scripture it said it was speedy. Oh, God can run to our aid very quickly. That speedy mercy. Thank God for it. For some of you, get right with God. Some of you are pushing God's mercy. You're pushing it to the limit. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 years of age, living in a way that you should not be living. You think you've got God fooled? You don't. You think you have your preacher fooled? You don't. You read it on your face and your behavior. Pushing the mercy of God. God to multiply His mercy in your life. I'd be careful with that. You might want to get something straightened out before He withholds His hand of mercy and justice comes. Come, the altar's open. one more time through the song. One more time through the song. If you're not saved, it's not too late to come. His mercy is available. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. You can have a seat there.